What's good, everybody? Wednesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen, Rob Reese here with you, talking fantasy and sports betting and DFS. What's up, Robbie? How you doing?
What's up, Petey? I'm feeling good today. We got a few more weeks here left of fantasy regular season, so
yep.
The time is now to get your team in order to make your last final push here for playoff time.
And we got some interesting injury developments, right? The past 24 hours, we saw Roman Josi surprise skating for the Predators in the morning skate, and then he ends up coming back and playing and making a difference for them in their shutout win against the Red Wings, taking care of business. They've beaten the Red Wings a number of times this year, but that's what you have to do if you're hoping to scrape by and stay in contention despite some things working against you, like, of course, the injuries. But getting Josi back, right, you threw him right back into your top 20 fantasy defenseman rankings, and it kind of changes the outlook a little bit, at least in the short term, for Nashville.
It does. I can't believe that team is still in playoff contention, by the way. I mean, whether you like them or not, it's pretty remarkable that they're even hanging around in it right now. So that might change, you know, the temperature of their hockey operations prior to the trade deadline if they think that they have a shot at actually getting in this year. But other than that, yeah, Josi, I put him back in at 20 overall. He's on a 4-game point streak if you count his early March stats before he was out with an injury. So it's pretty impressive. He just comes back. He had 6 shots in like 20 minutes last night. So you got to take it seriously. And then you have Ekholm on the same blue line, Pete, that is really, really playing well too. And I think now with Josi back, Ekholm becomes a must add in fantasy if he's still available in any of your leagues.
Yeah, and just because Nashville is on the cusp of the trade deadline and not sure which way they're going to, you know, move their chips, I think that Ekholm is also one of those guys worth rostering in fantasy. Maybe if he gets traded, he could have an uptick in value and be the number one defenseman somewhere else. So, and we always look at that this time of year, inside 1 month until the trade deadline. You know, their play in the next week or two will determine that. But Nashville, the thing about them is, like, I've been hard on them this year, but they're in that central division, which we've said all year is the weakest division in the NHL, right? There are some fringe teams or even some flawed teams out there that would love to be in that central division, whether it's Vancouver, the New York Rangers, maybe even the Sharks that have a lot of star power but aren't a very good team and are just kind of getting buried every other game out in the West when they have to play Vegas and St. Louis and Colorado. But like, Nashville has been bottom feeding for a while. They've picked off a couple of big games. They beat Dallas over the weekend in a barn burner. And all of a sudden now here they are. And one guy that I know has been on your radar, Robbie, Eli Tolvanen, and we've mentioned him a couple of times this year, but now leading all rookies in power play points very suddenly after a power play helper on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, he inserted himself into the lineup. He's got 13 points in 24 games now. I mean, 38 shots, he could shoot a little bit more. But I mean, this is a player, we go back, I think, to 2017-18, Pete, when he was just tearing up the KHL. He can obviously produce at an elite rate. He just needs the lineup placement. Well, he's got it now on the top line for them alongside Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg. Now, I'm not a big Johansson guy in fantasy unless you're in a faceoff league, but Forsberg, as we all know, has top end talent as well, Pete. They just need to score more goals. That's the only thing about Nashville this season that hasn't been good, is their ability to put the puck in the back of the net, something they've struggled with for a few seasons now. So Tolvanen is an intriguing pickup. I like him in deeper leagues. I'm still not sold on Nashville. You know, if you're in a more shallow league where there's plenty of players available, I'd rather have, let's say, a Zach Hyman, you know, somebody like that, Pete, that, you know, or Pavel Buchnevich, if available, you know, that's a little bit more on a team, an offensive minded team. But that being said, I'd certainly take a flyer on Tolvanen in a little bit of a deeper league. And in keeper leagues, you have to be buying back into this guy's stock right now.
And I think 1 year leagues the rest of the way, right? We were talking with James last show about how the goalie options are barren, but things can change so quickly. Now, all of a sudden, Saros is back from injury. He's 7-6 on the season. He just cleaned up that shutout, which is great for his confidence, not to mention the team's playoff chances. And then, you know, you look at him on the waiver wire as a third or fourth goalie. Maybe you're not rolling him out when they're playing Tampa Bay or Carolina or even Florida, but, you know, some of the lower tier teams are against Columbus and, you know, Detroit and teams like that. Whenever they play those teams, spot starts, get some efficiency and get a little boost in your week to week matchup, because Saros is available in some leagues out there.
It's true. I would take a flyer on Saros. I would do the same with Rene. Get the spot starts if you can. Now, they'll beat Nashville, or excuse me, they'll beat Detroit again on Thursday night. So you can take that one to the bank. Whoever's going to start net for them, definitely roll them out on Thursday if you need a goalie option. But yeah, Pete, I mean, other than that, the landscape right now in fantasy, I mean, now is the time to make some of these moves. Like, I was checking my waiver wire this morning, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? Like, I'm just going to double down at this point on the team I drafted, because I'm just not seeing a lot of big time difference makers outside of the forward position. Speaking for defensemen and goalies right now, it's pretty barren. I mean, I'd love to throw out, you know, more goalie options other than Saros and Rene, but I'm just not seeing many.
Yeah, it's true. I think it's going to be a big boost for the Rangers, and we'll see how the dust settles when they get Shesterkin back, possibly as early as Thursday for New York. And that's another layer to what we were talking about, how the Rangers have some upward trajectory, and they might get one of their top prospects, Vitali Kravtsov, making his NHL debut as early as Thursday as well. So on top of all the other things like Panarin being back and Zibanejad bouncing back and Kreider playing well and Buchnevich leading them in scoring and Adam Fox, you know, on the cusp of the top 10 defensemen, like we were saying, like that's a goalie development because those guys have returned some value. Kincaid won right Monday, and there's been Georgiev with a couple of shutouts, and now Shesterkin comes back with his nice looking save percentage and trying to deliver for the Blue Shirts, right?
Well, and Georgiev's kind of now on the shelf, Pete. I mean, he's got an 8.97 save percentage this season. And Kincaid, he got a win against Washington, I believe, too, earlier, right? So, I mean, you have to look at Kincaid and Shesterkin as probably the duo now in New York. And if you are a Shesterkin owner like I am not running out to pick up Kincaid. I think Shesterkin's going to get the bulk of starts. Now, the only question is, Bobby, is Shesterkin, is he healthy enough for them to roll out every game here on out? Probably not. So that's where Kincaid has some outsider value in fantasy.
Oh boy. If we're relying on Keith Kincaid people, we're going to have some problems. A little concerning to be relying on Kincaid based on what I've seen, based on his pedigree and based on what I've seen. That doesn't excite me as a Rangers fan.
What about Kravtsov, Ravi? I know a fan was asking about that one and just, you know, his potential this year. He cleared the COVID protocols. His season ended in the KHL. He spent some time in the AHL last year. He's 21, so maybe a little bit more seasoned than guys like Kako, who had a big game the other day on command after you said, Robbie, right? Somebody needs to step up, either Laff or Kako, and it was Kako with the two goals the other day. But Kravtsov, are you looking at this guy in a deeper league? You just kind of proceeding with caution, or are you like pulling the trigger to add a player like this?
I'm pulling the trigger now, Pete, because as nice. You know, better than anybody, if you miss out, it's too late. If he has a goal in his first game, his ownership in Yahoo will go up from 5 to 25 overnight, and then it's going to be above 40 if he has another point. So you have to make the move now if you're in a competitive league. And I'm looking at their line combinations. On the second line, they've got Panarin with Strome and then Colin Blackwell on the right side. I think that's where they've got Kravtsov penciled in to play alongside Panarin. Now, I have no insider knowledge of this. I'm purely speculating on what they've done this season. And the reason I would double down on that is because Laff and Kako have been playing together on the third line now with Filip Hedl. And that seems to be the combination that they want, no matter whether it's Knobloch behind the bench or Quinn behind the bench. They're going to that trio. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you why they're not giving either Laff or Kako more opportunity, but they're not. So I think Kravtsov will have it. And I think he scored a handful of goals, Pete, in the KHL. He had a decent stat line, 16 goals in 49 regular season games. And they had 4 points in five playoff games in the KHL. Like, that's good for a young player like that. So I think he's going to get an opportunity.
Yeah, it could be huge for them to fill that right wing slot. It's kind of been, even last year, right? It was like Jesper Fast. It wasn't anybody too exciting. And that was when Panarin was like tied for third or something in the NHL in scoring. I believe he's still top five in points per game, something like that. So, you know, really high ceiling for anybody playing with him. And I think we've seen like Ryan Strome, even like when Panarin is there and things are like stable in New York, Ryan Strome is a top 100 forward, maybe even a top 75 forward, right? You were marveling about how he plays on the power play, how well he's played in that role. He was on power play one last year when they were among the best units in the league, when they had Tony DeAngelo and they were working it like that. I know things have been a little different this year with Fox running the show, but they still have the elite talent, and he has a solidified place on that unit.
He's got a 6-game point streak, Ryan Strome does. So if you're in a more shallow league, don't hesitate to pick him up. And yeah, he looks dynamite on that power play when you watch him play. I mean, he's so, so talented in that situation. Now, if you are picking up a Kratsov or a Kako or a Lafreniere, and I would say Kratsov is my first waiver priority in that list, Pete, just based on upside and opportunity right now. You have to know that the chance of them cracking the first power play unit is slim to zero for the remainder of the season. Again, the Rangers kind of made their bed when they signed Kreider. You know, Strome's a lock for that unit, Zibanejad, Panarin, and now Adam Fox, who is playing like a top 10 defenseman in NHL and in fantasy. You know, that unit's not going anywhere.
Right, and we have 2% rostered for Kravtsov right now. So like you said, it's pretty slim right now, but you can go out there in almost any league, even if you're in the most ultra-competitive league out there. And that's what we saw, right, a couple of weeks ago and a month ago with other rookies, like Oliver Wahlstrom is, you know, he joined our top 100 forward rankings this week. Same with Jason Robertson in Dallas. And those are two of the top four rookies in points per game, along with Kaprizov and Stutzla, I believe. So that's a really good nugget for those two. I think they could both earn bigger roles and really pay dividends in the fantasy playoffs. So I know on a couple of my teams, I have either or both of Wahlstrom and Robertson. And Robertson produces too, when whether or not Hintz is in the lineup, which is a key storyline for that team. Hintz is playing through something for sure. He's you know, getting that team by on a daily basis when he's in the lineup, but you know, definitely a nagging injury for him.
The Stars have 3 games coming up against the Florida Panthers. And right now, if you were watching games on Tuesday night and paying attention on Twitter, Sasha Barkov got scratched right in the middle of warmups, Pete, you know, 10 minutes before their game started with a day-to-day tag now on Yahoo. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Obviously, if he goes down for any length of time, not only is that going to derail people's fantasy seasons, but the Florida Panthers aren't going to win many games with him on the shelf. So that's a major one to keep an eye on. Hopefully it's nothing Quenneville said day-to-day after the game. So we'll take his word for it there. But Pete, I mean, that's one where you look at the Dallas Stars and they've got a real opportunity to raffle off 3 wins against the Panthers, you know, no matter what's going on with Hintz and some of those guys, because without Barkov, Florida's just not the same caliber team.
Yeah, it's true. And Florida right now sitting tied for 5th in the NHL in points, but it could come crashing down. And it's one of those things, like, even more severe than when we talk about not the injury, just talking about the fantasy implications. Like, remember we were saying when Malkin was kind of day to day, we didn't know if he would go on IR. We were saying, should you drop Kapanen because he's primarily an even strength guy? I mean, that's what Carter Verhaeghe is. I don't think he has a power play point on the season. And he's been one of the biggest surprises in all of fantasy this year. So it's one of those things, you're trying to stay ahead of the curve. Do you drop Verhaeghe the split second you hear something negative injury-wise about Barkov? I think you do. And it's not to rain on his parade, but it's just the impact of that player and why it's happening. It's because he's on the top line in a fixture with Barkov.
Yeah, and you put out the best example there is. I mean, look at Kasperi Kapanen. Now his exposure is Zach Aston-Reese and Jared McCann. No, thank you. So you need to do that. I mean, there's no point in waiting. I mean, even if it's only for a few games, let's say you're in your fantasy league and you're just inside the playoff picture right now, or you're just outside. If you've got a guy like Verhaeghe and he's been good for you, you have to be bullish about cutting the cord and picking up a streamer that not only has a lot of games played this week, but can produce some points, because there's really no time to waste right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Some other players around the league, Yanni Gourde scored again, and that seems to be there are a couple of matchups out there around the league where one team just can't seem to beat the other. Dallas is certainly one of those against Tampa Bay. There have been a couple others, like the Sharks can't beat Vegas. Just keep an eye on those matchups when those teams play. It's you know, a bit frustrating for the opposition, but we saw that with Tampa Bay. I mean, Vasilevsky said it was one of the easiest games he's ever played in his career. I mean, that was pretty crazy to think, but he keeps rolling, man. We got him in our one league, and we also have Barkov in that league, so we might have to scour the waiver wire, but at least we got that bedrock, right, of Vasilevsky with his 11-game winning streak.
Well, in a keeper league, Pete, despite that he's getting a little bit more into the veteran stage of his career, Vassy is, I mean, he's a top 10 asset, no matter how you slice it and dice it, whether you're prioritizing age or not. I mean, that's one player in the offseason when we have this joint team that we're automatically keeping no matter what, because you don't have to think about it. You know, where you have guys, you know, even like a Panarin coming into the season, you had to think, you know, are the Rangers going to keep this up? Same thing with Zibanejad, you know, is it sustainable? You know, the goalie position is one where we've seen it more than ever in the condensed season, where you need a reliable workhorse like Vasi. And there's so few in the NHL right now. You know, even a guy like Kaapo Kakkonen, who emerged onto the scene this year, now he's struggling a little bit. And now in one league, I have him as my number three. And I'm like, do I need to hit the waiver wire here? Or can I trust Minnesota? I think I can trust them. But now it looks like Talbot might be getting preferential starts there over Kakkonen. So goalie is, yeah, definitely a position that has given me headaches, but certainly none from Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Yeah, and I think that definitely with Kakkonen, you saw at different points, even during his winning streak, remember we were like, why are they not starting Kakkonen? I mean, maybe there's a reason why. Maybe they were just trying to shelter him a bit. He's a rookie. I know he played a little bit last year, but to go out there and get blitzed by Colorado like that just makes you worry about what he's going to be for you for the rest of the season, especially if you look at their shooting percentage plus save percentage, like Liebhoff alluded to in one of the previous shows. If they're going to regress at least a little bit, that could hurt the efficiency of what Kakkonen has built to this point in the season. A couple other waiver wire guys we've been monitoring. Jonas Donskoy, 7 points in his past six games, right, Robbie? We picked him up in our joint league. So, and that's a deep league. So that's where you start to even look for third line exposure from some of these teams that are the real juggernauts. We were talking about how Gord produces on a third line, and Pageau and Alex Tuck and Oliver Wahlstrom. There are only a couple of guys in the whole league, but I think Donskoy is one of them.
Yeah, Donskoy is a solid pickup. You know, I know that he's been dropped a lot this morning after their loss to Arizona, but don't worry, I would hold on to Donskoy. He's looking like he's evened out around 15 minutes. He does provide some good category coverage with shots. He's got good plus minus this season at plus nine. So I would hold on to Donskoy, especially with the left wing, right wing dual eligible position in Yahoo is pretty valuable. Now in goal for Colorado, they gave Jonas Johansson the start. He did let in, you know, a handful of goals, four total. So, you know, probably too early to say whether you should cut the cord there. I would personally do it just because, you know, history, and it doesn't look good for the player. But Pete, I mean, Colorado is still the best team in the NHL. They are going to win a ton of games from here on out. And I think it's in their best interest to keep Grubauer, you know, his amount of starts down heading into the postseason.
Yeah, and I think it might be in their best interest to pursue another goalie just for insurance. You saw them last year when their season was on the line. They had Michael Hutchinson there. Michael Hutchinson isn't there anymore. So, and we're talking about Francois maybe not even being in the picture if his injury situation doesn't improve or if it's a long-term deal. So there are a couple of guys out there that they could, you know, pickpocket from somewhere. Like if Ranta's healthy, he's in a contract year. If they want to go within the same division, they could get Dubnyk, who's in a contract year. If the Hurricanes, when Mrazek comes back, I think with the circumstances of this year, you'd be comfortable having three good goalies going into the playoffs if you're Carolina. But Reimer and Mrazek, if Nedeljkovic keeps performing like this, you never know. They could maybe trade Reimer or something to make room for it to be more of a timeshare with Mrazek and Nedeljkovic. So those are some other goalies that they could look out for. One thing though, like I was looking and Johansson was wearing his AHL Rochester Americans helmet. I mean, how telling is that, man? You can't even rock the Sabres helmet for one more game before they polish off your new one. So I just thought it was like so funny that he was wearing that helmet. It was a pretty cool one, but that just shows like his confidence is shaken, right? I mean, he needs a couple more games to get going. He was a little nervous. He gave up all three goals in the shootout, which is something you rarely see. So I would say give the kid a break, give the kid one or two more games. And then if he's, you know, as bad as Miska was, maybe they can make another move before the deadline.
And Colorado was kind of due for a loss anyway, not to, you know, make too many excuses for the player, but they were kind of due. They were so hot. You know, they're going to drop one eventually. Now, speaking of Buffalo, they're rolling out Dustin Tokarski in net here tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Tokarski's played in 27 starts since he entered the league in 2009-10. So, I mean, you're looking at a real flyer here. He got lit up by the Rangers the other night, which, by the way, Buffalo got out to a 1-0 lead in that game in the first period, and I was sweating because that was my sledgehammer. I'm not going to lie and pretend like I was cool as a cucumber. I was not. But that said, Tokarski led in a handful of goals after that. 8.92 save percentage in one game this season. I would stay far clear of that. But in their back-to-back against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I have a feeling that Buffalo is going to win one of these games. I really, really feel that way, that they are due.
I can see it. I mean, with the losing streaks at, what, 14 games or something like that right now. But they, if, when they get Linus Allmark back, they will steal a game because he's a quality goaltender. 9.19 save percentage on the series, on the season. Not to touch him in fantasy. He's 19% rostered. I wouldn't ever tell anybody to pick up a Sabres goalie right now. But he, if for a spot start, like you said, against the Penguins without Malkin, could they steal one if you're desperate for someone that's actually going to play a game this week? I know some leagues you can't find anything on the waiver wire. So I agree with that. I could see them getting off the hex in one of these games that Allmark actually plays in.
Well, that's a Vezina caliber season, guys. If you're playing at a 9.19 on Buffalo, like, that is unbelievable performance. I mean, consider this. I mean, there's 13 guys in the league that are have a nine that have above a 9.12 or excuse me, a 9.8, 9.19 save percentage right now. I mean, that's the cream of the crop. That is a better half of the league for goalies. And Allmark, I mean, he's right up there. So if they just had, you know, a better situation, which, by the way, I was listening to Granato's press conference. He really threw Ralph Krueger under the bus there, basically saying he was responsible for the star player's demise, which I thought was big time shade. But that said, I'm just not buying in on Taylor Hall right now for the second half. I'm not buying in on Jack Eichel coming back. A lot of people have been asking me, what do I do with Jack Eichel? And I've told everybody, cut the cord. I mean, if you need wins right now, if you need games started in fantasy, Eichel is not your guy on the shelf. So do you see any appeal, either Bobby or Pete, for the Sabres, you know, second half here? I'm saying no way.
I see maybe some appeal if they trade like Sam Reinhart or Ristolainen to a better spot or something like that, but not in house unless Eichel comes back. But if he's, I mean, there's no reason to even bring him back right now. If you risk further injury, I mean, he's the centerpiece of your team moving forward, for better or worse, for the actual team around him. But if you are looking to maybe trade him, why would you even bring him back and risk further injury, you know, while his value and his name value is still relatively high? So I personally wouldn't even consider bringing him back the rest of the way. And therefore there wouldn't be much fantasy value on the roster in general.
No fantasy value with Buffalo, but there is some value if you can hunt some high prices in some spots where you think they can win a game, which I've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks, which I said I completely gave up on it. I think our pal Mike Leboff was on Buffalo against the Rangers because the price was just too high. And now we're at the point where Pittsburgh is minus 278. You know, at some point, Buffalo is going to win. And, you know, you put a shekel down and you can triple or double your money. I just don't know when that spot is. Hockey's so random. It's so difficult to figure out where that spot is. But yeah, I mean, back to back with Pittsburgh, maybe that's the opportunity, like you mentioned.
It's the opportunity. I think it, I don't know. I can't tell you if it's tonight or tomorrow, but Annie up on both nights. I think you're going to get a W there. I will say, you know, this Wednesday matchup, I do have another sledgehammer. I think now that we're in the second half of the season here, I'm starting to see things a little bit more clearly in terms of trends. And that's why I feel even more strongly. I'm not pulling the sledgehammer for Buffalo. No way. There's nothing you could do to convince me to do that. But I do like the Jets, Pete. I'll piggyback off your sledge from last time. Like, this team, credit to James for calling this one a little bit early, but they really are rounding into form. Their offense looks dynamic right now. Pierre-Luc Dubois is finding his game. There's so much to like about their defense right now, too. So I would sledgehammer the Winnipeg Jets tonight against the Vancouver Canucks.
Sure. I mean, you think, like, with Pedersen already out, and I know Bo Horvat is day-to-day, so that's, like, your top two centers. I know they got Miller playing center, but you're not going to be able to hang with those two lines in Winnipeg that they got going on. One of our DFS picks of the night is Pierre-Luc Dubois. Not even for his own consistency. He's been inconsistent this year, but he's out there with Ehlers, who's been a beast this year in fantasy and just powering that team in general to a different level than they have even been in years past, I think. And also Kyle Connor. So, and Dubois has had a couple of big games. I think he has four multi-point games, including a three-point game, which came earlier this year against Vancouver. After the Jets lost those two games, some tight games to the Edmonton Oilers, I think last weekend or sometime last week. It's like they got serious again. They're going to destroy Vancouver in this game if Bo Horvat is out. And like, that's what they did the other day. They shut him out 4-0. So you'll always look at the bounce back appeal, but I just don't think the Canucks have it in the tank without some of their best players being on the sidelines.
Now, Coach Green did say that Horvat evaded, you know, a real serious injury, which is good. He could play, according to Coach Green, on Wednesday night, but that doesn't change my conviction for this Jets team. They are 2 points away from being tied for first in that division. That's going to be so valuable because whoever's in that fourth seed is very vulnerable, Pete, in that division. So I think even kind of jockeying for playoff positioning right now, you have to be gunning for the first spot in the North. And then the other team I would look at is the Ottawa Senators. They've had four straight one-goal hockey games, a team that is kind of playing like the pesky Sens, we know. And the thing I like about this one is that it's a 5 p.m. puck drop, which is super random, especially for the road team. I don't think road teams ever bode well in a away city when there's an early puck drop. So I would look at the pesky Sens tonight. And look, if the Flames lose that game, it solidifies my stance as the roster is flawed and no coach is going to make a difference there.
Yeah. You even see what the Senators goalie got his first NHL win and they were trying to grab the puck to leave the, I mean, that's just like, I don't know, that's that type of stuff. It's like, you can't even make it up and it's all for the wrong reasons. So yeah, I'm a little disappointed in the Flames. I think we all know they're capable of better, but maybe like you've been saying for a while, maybe just the talent makeup of the roster is just not good enough to stack up against even the middle tier playoff teams. I mean, look at some of these other teams out there, just total juggernauts like Vegas and Colorado and Tampa Bay. I mean, to even put them in the same sentence on a single game is not accurate. You know, the Flames could never compete with teams like that in the playoffs.
So we have the sledgehammer for Robbie. And then I think I'm going to come up with something different off the fly here, on the fly, I should say. A little sprinkle on the Senators, which I like that spot between where the Flames are, how the Ottawa Senators are pesky, and then that 5 o'clock road team scenario. I have to say that situation sprinkle on Ottawa plus 155, I'm going to jump on board with that one.
And they changed the draft lottery rules too, not to read too deep into this, but you know, it's only the top two teams now. So anything beyond that is going to shake out the way it shakes out. I think you're going to see more competition, especially later in the season for teams like Ottawa, who in my opinion are heading in the right direction. This is not like a Buffalo Sabres where you're scratching your head thinking, I can't see the vision here. Ottawa is crystal clear. They have a really good team. A lot of solid young players like Josh Norris, Batherson, not to mention Jimmy Stutzla, as they call him. I mean, there's so much talent there, and especially on the back end too with Shabbat. So I like their direction. And I think, Pete, like another team like that right now in the league that I look at, New Jersey Devils, like they're playing a little bit better as well. They've got a lot of good young players like Ty Smith and Jack Hughes. But New Jersey is not a team that I would be going near, you know, if you're looking at betting. I just think that the rest of the way, we're going to see them play a little bit more like the team we saw in the first half of the season, like the first quarter of the season, before they got derailed from COVID.
Yeah, and I think you're going to start to see some guys play a little bit better on that team, at least over the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. I mean, right, Palmieri's in a contract year. You're going to see him start to heat up. You're going to see PK Subban maybe improve a little bit if he has a way to, you know, get to a better team at this stage of his career. Also, Nikita Gusev is a 2021 UFA, who I think has had a diminished role this year for some reason. I was expecting him to be their number one left wing, but it hasn't turned out like that. And last year he was underutilized as well. So, you know, put those pieces together however you want. I still think he could be a valuable addition to another team at the deadline. So maybe he picks it up a little bit, but yeah, Devils are, you know, it's tough for them. I mean, even you start to get some better games from Blackwood, but you just, there's just not really much direction for that team. The LA Kings catch my eye for this Wednesday slate. I know there's not much value, but keep an eye on the line, see how it trends. I know the Sharks were home favorites the other day, which was surprising, but yeah, Cal Peterson, the way he's playing, 5-2-3 over his past 10 games, .927 save percentage. He seems to be their number one at this point. I know Quick has been a little banged up and stuff like that, but he really seems to be elevating his game. And I would expect a bounce back from the LA Kings. They lost a tight one to the Sharks the other day. The Sharks can never win consecutive games against the same team. They only did it once this year, and it was against the Ducks. So I would say that go on the Kings and just trust them to get that win tonight.
That's sounding like it could be close to a sledge, Petey.
I'm not doing it because there's no plus number, so I'm not doing it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I do like that Evander Kane is having, you know, a really, really good season in fantasy. It's like, these players, he's in the same conversation as the Tkachuk brothers, the Tom Wilsons, where you just get so much value out of guys that can play close to a point per game clip. They can produce on the power play and they hit. I think that's like my bona fide strategy too, heading into fantasy playoffs, is I would absolutely pick up a guy like Zach Hyman, like that mold where, you know, they can get all those categories, even if they don't have a goal or assist one night, they're still going to get hits. They're still going to get shots. They're still going to get the high ice time. I mean, you can't get better than that. And I think Pete too, like, look at Evander Kane as a standalone option now moving forward, no matter what the future of the Sharks is, whether they blow it up completely or not, you know that Kane's going to return value in season long leagues.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he has the highest points per game average of his NHL career this year, 0.90. So close to a point per game with 27 and 30 games. And he's playing really well with Couture. Those are their two leading goal scorers. Like you said, his contract is big for a player. You know, I think he's definitely, there were some offseason, you know, there was the storyline surrounding him. We're not going to get into that here, but he's playing really well. And whatever the future, you know, holds for him, like, it's good to see him playing well in terms of on the ice and playing at the pinnacle of his career, because that's why the Sharks gave him that big deal, right? Mm-hmm. They not only traded for him, but they also, you know, ponied up and paid the guy. And they did the same for Carlson. It just hasn't worked out. But at least to be getting that production out of Evander Kane is huge.
And you can follow along on all these storylines on NHL.com/fantasy. We did the top 100 forwards on Monday. We did the top 50 defensemen yesterday. A lot of great trends in both of those stories. And you can scroll to the end of those lists for guys that are probably going to be available on the waiver wire if you need day-to-day pickups. Also, check out our DFS picks article, because there's always gems in there how you can stay on top of current game trends.
And keep an eye on those lists throughout the course of the week. Like, we update the forwards on Tuesday, but we always throw a little hidden gem there at the end. Like, you'll probably see Kravtsov's name entering Thursday when we start to mold out the top 200 overall rankings. And then Robbie always has some good, he's always creative, right? You're always trying to find some players that are under the radar for the end of your defenseman rankings, just because it's been such a rough position this season. Right. It's been like Hague and of course, Justin Schultz turning it up lately for the Capitals. But, you know, Ravi's on his toes for sure with that position every week.
This is for our pal, Waiver Wire James, who's a big golf fan. I don't really have much on the hockey board, but I will throw this out. Match play this week and first round, I'm going to fade Jordan Spieth. I'll take Matthew Fitzpatrick -115 over Jordan Spieth. And then for all the loyal Fantasy on Ice listeners, I know a lot of you guys, or some of you folks, you don't like what I bring to the table. I ignore the haters. I don't mind you guys coming at me. That's fine. I'm making you emote. But please follow and listen to the other podcasts. You know, The Chirp with Darren Millard. We had John Hamm on this week. NHL at the Rink. Dan and Sean both do a great job. NHL Draft Class. Great job with the prospects, and just support the other podcasts as you've supported the fantasy podcast. We always appreciate it. Leave a review, subscribe. And hey, if you want to say negative things about me, feel free. I love it. I feed off the haters, baby.
Well, Bobby, I mean, you have to defend yourself. And honestly, anything in content creation, when you get some haters, you know, it means you're doing something.
Yeah.
Right? It means you're doing something good. So appreciate the reviews, though, from everybody. Let's get some more 5-star reviews heading into the postseason here for fantasy. And keep your questions coming. I mean, now is the time, PD. Even you and I are scanning the waiver wire every day to try and shore things up. So very important time in the regular season for us. So you can catch us on Twitter. I'm at NHL Reese. PD's at NHL Jensen. We're both at NHL Fantasy on Instagram and on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely, you know, we love talking sports betting, but we love working in the fantasy as well. If we ever don't cover anything that you're listening to or that you're looking for in the podcast, let us know, and we'll get to it in the next show with a fan question or something like that. So hit us up for sure on all those platforms, and we'll talk to you again on Friday. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.